Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you this evening at the concluding hours of the year 2018. And I would like, on behalf of the session, to wish every one of you a very happy new year in advance. And may the Lord be with you, and in the year 2019, may the Lord prosper your footsteps. May the Lord grant you great success in your service unto Him. And may your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2019 be so exemplary, so attractive for the Lord, that people interacting with you may want to come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, today, one disease people are very fearful of is, among other diseases like cancer and heart attacks and stroke, is dementia. Now, this is a disease, of course, that plagues the older people, and it is actually essentially memory loss. And people having it in its extreme form will not be able to remember anything. They can't recognize their wives. They do not know. They do not remember who their wives are. They do not remember their children, and then they can't even remember themselves. Yes, they can't recognize themselves. They do not know who they are. Now, this kind of forgetting, of course, is not good. Now, there is another kind of forgetting, and that kind of a forgetting is willful forgetting. It can be good or it can be bad. Now, for example, someone could have hurt you very badly, and then one day he comes up to you and he apologizes to you. And he says to you, "I'm very, very sorry. I hurt you very, very badly. Is there a way that I can make up to you? If there is any way that I can compensate you for the hurt that I've caused you, I'm very happy to do it." And you know that his apology is very, very sincere. And then you say to him in a very magnanimous way, you say, "It is all right. Yes, let us forget it." Now, that kind of forgetting is good forgetting, right? You're willing to forget the past, the bad things in the past, because if you allow yourself to continue to remember the bad things in the past, they will just impede your spiritual growth in particular. Now, let's also recognize that the thing that sometimes you choose to forget could be really good. In time past, they were really very, very good. Maybe you have achieved something very great, and so it was very, very good. The thing that happened in the past. Now, but if you keep on remembering those good things in the past, and you keep on dwelling on the good things in the past, and then you do not want to move forward and to get on to with your life to do things better, then the good things in the past could very well hinder your progress in doing good. Then that good thing in the past that you choose to remember might not be very good. Now, Paul says here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before." Now, the question is, what should we forget? Particularly the things that happened in the year 2018, things that happened to us, things that we were involved in. What are the things we ought to forget in the year, the things that happened to us in 2018, and maybe prior to 2018 also, so that we can make good progress spiritually in the new year. Now, by good progress, I refer to the progress in our becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is meant by good progress that I'm talking about, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, let us forget our success. Now, you know, Paul could have been very, very proud of his achievements if he wanted to. Now, I'm not talking about the achievements that he made before he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the achievements that he made after he became a believer. You know, Paul was actually a very great pastor. We may not realize it. Because when in his missionary journeys, in some places, he would be there for a long period of time, not just for a few months, but a couple of years. So he really was a very, very good pastor, a very, very good teacher. Right? And he was also a great evangelist, and also a very, very great missionary, of course. And then in regards to his being an author, yes, he was indeed a very, very influential author. You think about it. How many people in the world in history could be as influential as the Apostle Paul in regards to his writings? In regards to their writings. Paul's writings have influenced many, many lives throughout the ages. So, you see, if Paul wanted to be proud of all these things that he had achieved, he could have. But, my dear friends, he did not count himself to have arrived. Never. Yes. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if we look at our success, to remind ourselves that our success came from the Lord. And then the memory of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the success spurs us to do greater things for him in the future, then remembering past success will be very, very good. Yes, it reminds us of the faithfulness of God. The past success reminds us that God is indeed very, very powerful. Then it is very, very good for us to remember our past successes, because then we will be able to say to ourselves, as he was faithful to me in time past, as he showed himself able to me in time past, he is going to be faithful to me in the future. He is going to show himself to be very, very powerful for me in the future. Now, that kind of remembering past success would be very good. But friends, you know what we really are, because we are really sinful creatures. And so, very often, we are very inclined to look at our past success and feel very satisfied with our achievements. Isn't that very true? If we are honest with ourselves, we look at our past and say, oh, I did this, I did that. And we feel very, very happy about that. But friends, if we did that, then we would be very inclined to rest on our laurels. But Paul was not one to rest on his laurels. He was very, very minded to forget those things which were behind for him and to reach forth unto those things which were before him. Now, in our service for the Lord, my dear friends, let us be there. Let us not be satisfied with what we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in this past year. Now, if you look back in this past year, maybe we have done quite a bit of things for the Lord. Perhaps in our Sunday school teaching or in our kids club teaching, we had done a good work. At least that is what people told us. The feedback was good. They told us that we taught well and that we were doing a great work. My dear friends, it is good for us to be encouraged by those great comments made by people about our service. But friends, let us not rest on our laurels and say that, well, if I was good in the past, then I will continue to be good. And then you let the standard of your service remain at the same level. No, my dear friends. Then we should ask those people who gave us the feedback and ask them, all right, thank you for your encouragement, but please tell me where I can improve. How can I be a better teacher in the future? How can I be more effective in my service? Then in regards to those of us who preach and who exhort, let us also do some self-examination. How well did we perform in the year 2018? Now, if we had done well, thank God that we did well. But let us also remember to do some self-examination to see how we may be able to improve in the future. Perhaps we should be talking to someone who can give us very, very fair and honest comments about our performance, and then make improvements on what we had achieved in time past. And I think one of the best ways, if we preach and if we got a video recording of ourselves, is to look at and hear ourselves how well we did in our preaching and our teaching or exhorting in the year 2018. Then as a person who focuses on prayer as a service, you might ask, how can I be more effectual in my prayer? How can I be more effective in my prayer? How can I be more participative in my prayer, particularly at the church prayer meeting? My dear friends, let us ask ourselves these searching questions. Yes, and then if we have been witnessing, and perhaps in the year 2018, we did talk to several people about the Lord and Jesus Christ. We participated in the street evangelism. We handed out tracts and so forth. Then we should ask ourselves, did we do well enough in the year 2018? And let's say that we did well, all right? We were quite pleased with what we did in 2018. But would that be really good? Or is that really good? Or should we remain at that level of service? Or should we be improving? My dear friends, we must be very minded to tell ourselves, I want to do better than what I did in the year 2018. If last year I spoke to 10 people about the Savior, this year maybe I should be talking to 20 people about the Savior. Let us make improvements, my dear friends. And then never let us be contented with our spiritual growth, particularly the spiritual growth that we made last year. You know, great saints are never satisfied with their spiritual growth. Now you think of a great hero like Moses. Was Moses walking very close to the Lord? He was. You know what the Word of God says about Moses' fellowship with the one true living God? Let me read to you Exodus 33:11. Yes, Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. That was the kind of fellowship, that was the kind of relationship Moses had with the one true living God. But was Moses satisfied with that kind of fellowship that he had with the Lord? No, my dear friends, not good enough for him. He wanted to know more of the Lord. And so there was one day when he very boldly said this to the Lord. If you look at the last page of your program sheet, it is not Genesis, my mistake, it is Exodus. All right, Exodus. Exodus 33, verse 18. You see this very, very bold request that he made of the Lord. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And verse 19, and the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. No, although Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, did not the Lord know what Moses wanted really? Moses actually wanted to see God. That was his request. God knew exactly what he wanted. And so we look at the next verse, verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Yes, you cannot see my face and live. So he knew exactly what Moses wanted. And the Lord was very, very gracious to Moses. Then in response to Moses' request, we read in Exodus 33:23. He's not there on the page, but I read for you. And the Lord said to him, I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now what those words mean, I really do not know, because God is spirit. Definitely he will not have a back, definitely he will not have a face. Yes, God is spirit, but this is a language put in a way that man can understand. It is man's language, alright? So we do not know what this really means, but it is the language of man that is being made use of here in Holy Scriptures. So he knew what Moses wanted. But my point is this, Moses was not satisfied with the kind of relationship that he had with the Lord, even though it was a very, very close relationship. Now it was the same also with the Apostle Paul. Paul was never satisfied with his spiritual growth, even though he was walking very, very close with the Lord. And so we said this, we read this yesterday, and we studied this, Philippians 3:10. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, Paul definitely wanted to know more of the Lord, not know about Lord, but he wanted to know more about God, not more about God. He wanted to know God in a very, very experiential way, in a very, very personal way. He must have more and more of the Lord. And as we said, he actually wanted to win Christ. He wanted Christ to possess him, and he wanted to possess Christ. He wanted Christ to be his everything. He wanted to know more of the Lord. Yes? And then he wanted to know also the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not Paul already experience the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? He did, but that was not enough for him. He wanted to experience more the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he also wanted to know more in regards to sharing in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to suffer with the Lord or share in his sufferings so that people could see more of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. My point is this, Paul was not satisfied with his spiritual growth, even though he was already living very close to the Lord. In the case of Moses, exactly the same. So we see that saints were always looking forward to be drawn closer to the Lord. They do not look back and feel satisfied with their past success. They look forward and desire to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we saints? Yes, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are saints. Like the heroes of the faith, my dear friends, we must be like them. We must yearn and we must want to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what else must we forget? We must forget our past sins, particularly the sins of the past year, which we have already confessed and which we have actually repented from. Friends, if we do remember our sins, not that we can completely forget about our sins, but if we do remember our sins, it must be for the purpose of remembering the goodness of the Lord. It must be for the purpose of remembering his mercies, so that we can say that he has not dealt with me after my sins, but he has dealt with me according to his mercies. But friends, if we allow ourselves to continue to remember the guilt of our sins all the time, you know that remembrance of our guilt can very well cripple our service. There are people who can't forget about their past sins. I know of such people. They can't forget about their past sins. They keep talking about their past sins, and they feel very, very guilty about them. And year after year, they feel so guilty that they are not able to serve. They feel that they're just too wretched, too filthy to serve the Lord. Now, Paul was never such a person. You look at how he saw himself as far as his past life was concerned. Now, was Paul a great and wretched sinner before his conversion? The answer is yes, of course. Although he thought that he was very righteous when he was very religious as a practicing Pharisee, when he knew the truth, he realized that he was indeed a very wretched sinner. And so he said this of himself. With regards to his sinful condition, this was how he saw himself. He says this, I'm one, in the last page you will see there, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. I'm one who was before a blasphemer, and indeed he was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would arrest Christians, and then he would compel the Christians to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a persecutor of the church, a very, very great persecutor. He would go everywhere to ferret out Christians, to arrest them, and to bring them before the Jewish religious leaders to be tried. And then when they were condemned, he gave the condemnation his wholehearted support. And he was very injurious to the church. Then he says, but I obtained mercy. You see, what was his focus on? Mercy, the mercy of the Lord, when he looked back at his past sins. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and see what else he remembers. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. He remembered the grace of the Lord. And then verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He recognized that. I was a great sinner. Yes, the chief of sinners. But what did he remember also at the same time? The grace of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. And how be it for this cause, I obtained mercy. Again, he talks about the mercy of the Lord, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. What else did he remember? He remembers, the long-suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ when he thought of his sinful condition, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, why did he say that he obtained mercy? Now, he said that he obtained mercy because he realized that the Lord actually had chosen him to make him an example, to show forth to the world that the Lord was so merciful even to a terrible sinner like the Apostle Paul, so that sinners would not think of themselves as too vile to be saved. You see, so Paul was very, very grateful. When he thought of his wretched, sinful condition, he thought of the mercies of the Lord, he thought of the grace of God, he thought of the long-suffering of the one true living God. My dear friends, if you look back at our past sins, and if you remember the mercy of the Lord, remember the grace of the Lord, remember the long-suffering of the Lord, that will be very good. Yes, we will be very encouraged to realize that this God is so merciful. As he was merciful to me, he will be merciful to other sinners as well. Now, then he chose to forget his past sins and not allow the past sins to cripple him. And of course, it will be literally impossible for him to wipe out his memory, wipe out from his memory the scene of the stoning of the martyr Stephen. Remember, when Stephen was martyred, Paul at that time was a young man. He was known as Saul at that time. And those stoners, the persecutors, actually placed their clothes at his feet, and then they proceeded with their stoning. And when they stoned, I'm sure Paul was very, very on the side. They're cheering them on, come on, and so on and so forth. Now, I would not be surprised at all that even Saul was a young man at that time. He could be the organizer of the execution of Stephen. I would not be surprised at all, because don't forget, Paul was a very good organizer, and he was a very intelligent and a very clever man. Right, so I would not be surprised that he was the organizer of the stoning of Stephen. But friends, he chose to forget the guilt of his past sin. But instead, as we said, he counted on the mercies of the Lord. He counted on the grace of God. He counted on the long-suffering of the Lord for his Christian living and for his service unto the Lord. No, he would not allow the guilt of those past sins, of his past sins, to cripple his service. He will not allow that to happen. Now, what about Peter? What about Peter? It was the same with Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. As we said on Sunday, that was possibly the lowest point of his life. He denied the Lord three times. And sure, it would be impossible for him to forget the sin that night, because after he denied the Lord three times, we have this recorded for us. Let me read for you in Luke chapter 22, verses 61 and 62. After he denied the Lord three times, and then we have this record, Luke 22, 61, 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You think Peter could forget that? Forget the look of the Lord Jesus Christ that night? I tell you, for the rest of his life, he could never forget that look. Now, if Peter were to remember the look of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he continued to feel very, very guilty of what he did, about what he did, I tell you, it would be impossible for him to serve. But Peter did not just remember that. Peter remembered one other thing. I'm very, very sure of that. He remembered that morning, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he and his fellow disciples were by the Sea of Galilee fishing, and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto them. Peter was with six of his fellow disciples, and the Lord called unto them, and they came on shore, and the Lord served them breakfast. Then after breakfast, the Lord spoke to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. The Lord said, feed my lambs. And the Lord said again, Peter, lovest thou me? And the Lord and Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And the Lord said, feed my sheep. The second time, the Lord also said, feed my sheep. You know what? Peter realized very, very much that the Lord actually had forgiven him. That is why the Lord said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. In other words, the Lord had restored his relationship with him to continue to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm very, very sure that Peter, when he thought of the night when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he would think of the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord restored him to have fellowship with him again, so that he would not be crippled in his service. But if he kept on thinking about his guilt of denying the Lord, then Peter would not be able to serve the Lord. But Peter did not do that. I am very, very sure. Likewise, my dear friends, we must forget the guilt of our sins. Once we have repented, once we have confessed our sins, let us remember that the Lord has washed our sins away. He has cleansed our guilt away. He does not hold us guilty. He does not hold our sins against us anymore. And he says this to us, your sins will I remember no more. Let's take him at his word. He says, your sins will I remember no more. So by faith, let us completely rely on his word so that we will not be crippled by any guilt that we might have and then be able to serve the Lord the way that he wants us to serve. Then what else must we forget? We must forget our past failures. In the past year, we could have experienced some personal failures. You students might not have worked hard enough. I do not know how many students here, but you students might not have worked hard enough. Why? Because you were not disciplined enough to do so. As a result, you did not do as well as you could have done. So what do you do now? Cry over spilled milk? No, friends. Move on. Confess to the Lord Jesus Christ that you had failed because you did not do what you ought to have done. And that was to be very, very disciplined and be very, very diligent in your studies. But you did not. But this year, for the year 2019, you tell yourself, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will give my very, very best in my studies to glorify your holy name. Yes, that is what you should be doing. Or we might fail in our work, or we might have failed spiritually, or you might fail in other areas. But friends, let us realize that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can really cause us to make good. Even we have failed very badly in time past, we must not allow our past failures to doom us to a life of failure as far as our service unto the Lord is concerned. Now, in the Word of God, there was a very, very outstanding example of a person who failed in his service. Did you know that? A very outstanding example. I refer you to this man called John Mark. John Mark. Now, when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, they took along with them this young man by the name of John Mark. John Mark was related to Barnabas. He possibly was his nephew. All right, they took along with them John Mark, and then they traveled eastward, all right, east or westward to the island of Cyprus. And after they evangelized the island of Cyprus, they left the city of Paphos, and then they sailed northwards to Asia Minor. And then when they landed at Asia Minor, what happened was this young man departed from them. The Word of God says, He departed from then and went back to the city of Jerusalem. Let me read for you in Acts 13:13. But when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, that was in the on the island of Cyprus, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, that this was in Asia Minor. And John Mark departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. He departed from them. You know what that means? He dropped out. That's what it means. He dropped out. Perhaps he could not take the rigors of the missionary journey. Now we will probably say that, well, that's the end of Mark. He is a failure as far as being a missionary was concerned. And so when Paul and Barnabas took on the second missionary journey, Paul did not want John Mark to come along. Barnabas was very insistent. He wanted John Mark to come along. And so the two men could not get along. There was a sharp contention between them. And so they went separate ways. Barnabas took along with him John Mark. Paul took with him Silas. They went separate ways. And but what happened to John Mark? Did he make good finally? The answer is yes, he did make good. And not just make good, he made very good in fact. Yes, and what's the proof of this? The proof of this is given to us by none other than Paul himself. All right, remember Paul didn't want him to come along in his second missionary journey. But near the end of Paul's life, when Paul was in prison awaiting his execution in the prison in Rome, this is what he said to Timothy. He wrote to Timothy and he said to Timothy, all right, you turn to the last page, you'll see the verse. 2 Timothy 4:11. All right, I read for you. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take what? Take whom? Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You see, now so, if Mark was one who continued to look at his past failure, he would be a goner, right? Yeah, he will not continue to serve. But no, he was not one to look at his past failure. He decided to go on the second missionary, and he indeed made good, and he indeed made very good. He made so very good. In fact, God made him so very good that he was given the high honor of penning the words according to the words in the Gospel of Mark. He penned the Gospel of Mark. So you see the high honor that was given to him by the one true living God. So he really made good, not only good, but really very, very good. So the question is, where have we failed? Now, we could have failed in our family life. We might have failed in being good, godly parents to our children. Or children could have failed in being godly children to their parents. Yes. Or we might have failed in being a good brother, a good sister to a member in the church. Friends, what we need to do is we must acknowledge our failures. Learn from our failures. And do not continue to look back at our failures and feel that we are doomed to a life of failure or that we are no longer able to serve because we failed in the year 2018 and we failed in time past. But friends, let us realize that God can cause us to make good. Let us ask for strength and remember this truth. We can actually do all things through Christ, which strengthens us if we are doing the will of the Lord. All right, not in everything, but if we are doing the will of the Lord will strengthen us. He will make a great success out of us if we are willing to allow Him to make us so. The next thing that we must forget must be our grievances. If we don't, our grievances will fester in us and cause us to be very, very bitter. You know, the unforgiving spirit that we have in us can literally eat us up. One day Peter asked the Lord in Matthew chapter 18:21-22. He said this to the Lord, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And the Lord Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490 times. Now the Lord of course didn't mean that it should be just 490 times. If there is a need to forgive more times, then we must forgive more times. I know of this, I knew of this professed believer. He had an unforgiving spirit. His nerve was always very raw, and at the slightest provocation, or at least he read it as provocation, he would blow his top. And not only would he blow his top, but then he was very, very good at bringing all the historical wrongs that people did to him, or this person did to him. And he would be able to play all these things. My dear friends, he could not forget all those things. He would not forgive. And those who supposedly wronged him, I think he must be one of the most unhappy persons on planet Earth. Yes, he did not know how to love others. But what does the Word of God tell us? What does the Word of God teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the chapter on love? The Lord says, the Word of God says, love does not behave itself unseemly. You know what that means? Love is courteous. It does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeks not her own. What does that mean? Love is not selfish. It is not self-centered. Love is not easily provoked. All right? And then, love thinketh no evil. It doesn't think evil. In other words, love does not keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't. My dear friends, if we truly want to express the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love does not think evil. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Now, the right thing for us to do in the year, New Year, is this. Don't carry the baggage of grievances that we had in the past year into 2019. Don't do that. All right? Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If there is any revenge to take, should we be taking it? No, friends. Leave it to the Lord to take it if there is a revenge to take. The Lord says this, vengeance is mine, not yours. All right? And then in the same chapter, Romans chapter 12, we read the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome said this to people who were unforgiving. He said this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Whose wrath? Your wrath? No. Give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So if there is any recompense to be made to those people who have wronged you, let God do the recompensing. Let us not be doing it. Yes. And then verse 20 says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So if you did that, what you will do, you will place a heap of live coals on his head and burn his head. No, that's not what it means. What it means is this, show kindness to that person. Show great kindness to that person to the extent that the person will feel very, very painful. It's like having coals of fire on the head. The person will feel very, very painful because his conscience will be troubling him. Yes, and so much so that he will want to repent from his sins. Now, that is what we should be doing. Show kindness to people so that by the grace of God, they will respond in that manner. Now, the next thing that we must forget are our handicaps. The problem with us is that often, what do we focus on? We focus on our handicaps. That's the trouble with us. We focus on what we do not have rather than focus on what we have. Yes? Now, if we did that, I tell you, we will not step up in faith to do what the Lord wants us to do because we keep on focusing on what we don't have. If we keep on focusing on what we don't have, we will not do anything for the Lord. Now, take the case of the Apostle Paul. Did Paul suffer from any handicap? Yes, we all know it, right? I see lots of people nodding their heads. Yes, it's true. Paul suffered from a terrible handicap, and he referred to it as a thorn in the flesh. It was troubling him. It was so debilitating that Paul asked the Lord three times to have that handicap removed from him. Yes, but to each of the times, the Lord said no to him. Yes, then did Paul keep on focusing on the handicap and said, Lord, see, look at my handicap, I cannot serve you. No, when the Lord finally said this to Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was very glad to hear that. Then he said, I'll glory in my infirmities, So for when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I would then be relying on the power of the Lord to serve him. So he was not focusing on his handicap. Instead, he was focusing on the power and the might of the one true living God to enable him to serve. So friends, let us not keep on thinking about our handicaps. Forget about our handicaps. Forget what we do not have. And then, by the grace of God, remember what we have and serve him with what we have. Now, if the Lord has given us one talent, don't look at the 4 and 5 talents that other people have, which you do not have. But, dear friends, just look at that one talent that you have. Make use of that talent. Ask the Lord to give you grace and strength to apply the use of that talent. And then, my dear friends, the Lord is going to make use of you to enable you to serve him well. Now, did you realize that God has given to each one of us at least one talent? At least one. You think about it, I can assure you that the Lord has given each one of us at least one talent. I can assure you that one talent that he has given to us is to pray. Isn't it true? He has given us the talent to pray. All of us can pray. And I've read of people who are bedridden, but they serve as the greatest prayer warriors for the Lord by exercising this one talent which the Lord has given them, the talent to pray for others. Now, in our church, we realize that we don't have many talents in our church like other churches have. But let us not lament on the fact that, well, we have got so few people here, so few talents in the church, we can't do anything for the Lord. My dear friends, forget about what we do not have, but focus on what we have to serve the Lord. Let this teaching be very instructive to us. In the book of Zechariah, you know the Lord's teaching is very clear. The Lord says in Zechariah chapter 4, despise not the day of small things. Despise not the day of small things. With small things, the Lord can actually do great things. You will remember the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yes, he gave those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was a boy, only a boy. He gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord. Do you not think that that was a small thing? It was a small thing, but the Lord made use of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he multiplied them to feed the 5,000. And then there were spares, and then they collected the spares. The spares filled out filled up 12 baskets. So you see, the Lord is able to make use of small things to do great things for himself and for his glory. So forget the things which are past. Yes, forget our success and forget our failures, forget our sins, and what else do we forget? Yes, forget our grievances, and then forget our handicaps. All right? Then what should we be reaching for? Forget about those things which are behind, but what should we be reaching for? I think we talked quite a bit about that yesterday. We should forget about, count ourselves not as having apprehended, but we should be forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. We should be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was reaching and Paul was straining and trying to reach that mark. We talk about that mark. What is this mark? Paul was thinking of himself as being in a race. And this mark was the end point of the race. The mark was the target. And I dare believe that in the center of the mark is this thing called holiness. Yes, Paul was striving to be holy. Because his master is holy, he wanted to be like his master. That was the mark. And what was the price for striking the mark? It is the price that God was calling him to receive from heaven. And what was this price? Now, this price, many people, commentators believe that this price that Paul was referring to consists of the crowns that Paul talks about in his letters. The crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of life. But I dare say that the one that he was focusing on was the crown of righteousness, because in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, he said this, yes, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness, the Lord shall give me, the Lord of righteousness shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. So he was looking forward to that crown of righteousness. And he was looking forward to the day when the Lord would take that crown and put on his head. But what would Paul do with that crown when it is put on his head? Wear it forever? No, Paul said that he would take that crown and place it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship the Lord. Yeah, that was what Paul was desirous of. But I dare say that there was one thing that Paul desired very, very much, which all of us should be desiring, and that is to hear this commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is this commendation? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That is what we should be looking for. Now, I read about a violinist who performed at a concert. Now, his performance was so very, very good. It was really outstanding. And so the audience at the end of the performance stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Now, this violinist acknowledged the ovation, but he was so tense in his face, not smiling at all. And then all of a sudden, he broke out into a broad smile. Why? Because he looked up to the balcony and he saw his master giving a nod. That was good enough. The audience applause didn't mean anything to him. It was the nod from his master that counted for him. My dear friends, the Lord is going to do more than just give us a nod on the day when we come face to face with him. If we have done well, we have been faithful to him, if we have hit that mark, the Lord is going to reward us. He's going to highly commend us. He's going to tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And if we have really done well for him, he will give us the crown that he wants to give to us. So friends, let us be looking forward, stretching forward to reach the mark that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to reach. So as we come to the end of the year, let us forget the things which are behind. Forget the successes. Don't rest on our laurels. If we keep on focusing on our successes, we will end up resting on our laurels. We will not do anything for the Lord. Forget our past sins, especially the guilt of our sins, and don't let it trouble us so much that we will not be able to serve the Lord. But rather, every time we think of our past sins, remember this. Remember the grace of the Lord, the mercies of the Lord, and the long-suffering of the Lord. Something which Paul did, yes, and I believe the other disciples did, people like Peter did, yes. And then forget our past failures. Now, every time we think of our past failures, particularly in our service unto the Lord, our testimony for the Lord, remember these two persons, yes. Sometimes you say, how could I be worse than Peter, right? You know, how could I be, yes, surely I can relate myself with John Mark. Yes, he dropped out from that missionary journey. But friends, if we fail, let us remember that the Lord is able to cause us to make good. And indeed, he will cause us to make not just good, but cause us to make very good. And I forget about our grievances. Don't carry them as baggages into the year 2019. Forget about our handicaps. Focus on what we have rather than what we do not have. And then reach and stretch and strain and try to reach out and try to hit the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And friends, let us not miss the mark. Hit it so that when we arrive at heaven, we will be able to hear the Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the year, Lord, we thank you for your mercies that you have shown to us in the course of the year. You have been so kind and so gracious towards us. There are so many things that we ought not to be remembering. Help us to forget them. And if we should remember our past success, we pray that we should remember them not for any purpose, but for the purpose of realizing that you have been so good to us in time past. And as you were good to us, faithful to us, and you showed us how able you were in time past, you will continue to show us how faithful and how able you are in the future. And if we look at our past sins, my dear Father, we pray that you will help us to understand that you are indeed so kind, so gracious, so merciful, and so long-suffering. Lord, we pray that we may count on your goodness and remember your goodness all the time for the forgiving of our sins. And Lord, we pray also that as we look into the new year, by your grace, we may be able to serve you better than we did in the past year. We pray that we may make good resolutions that will indeed glorify your holy name if we achieve them. Father, we pray that by your grace, you will be with us in the year 2019. Help us, O Lord God, to serve you well, so that at the end of the year 2019, we can look back and thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your grace towards us. For we pray and ask all these things with thanksgiving in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.